This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. General Motors and Chrysler continue the struggle to survive, which involves the loss of tens of thousands more jobs, more plants, and more brands. Earlier this year, General Motors announced the end of its newest line, Saturn, and yesterday, one of its oldest, Pontiac, which manufactured the iconic American muscle cars. Get on your Pontiac, Beginning next year, GM will no longer build that promised excitement. As car sales continue to dwindle, thousands of Chrysler and GM dealerships face life and death struggles of their own. The National Auto Dealers Association expects around 900 dealerships to close this year, and some car dealers face the prospect of lots full of phased-out cars and the huge debts they incurred to buy those cars in the first place. Later in the hour, the University of Cannabis business. But first, car dealerships, if you own one or work there, tell us how the car business has changed. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. We begin with Mike Beattie, who owns the Dunlop Pontiac in Bay City, Michigan, one of the first Pontiac dealerships in 1926. He's with us by phone from his office there. Nice to have you on the program today.
Thanks, Neil. Nice.
And condolences on the news. How did you break it to your employees?
Well, the media broke it to them starting last Friday, and it was confirmed Monday.
And what's the reaction been?
Everybody's in a somber mood and, saw it coming to some degree, but still it is a shock and very hard to deal with.
And this has been a family business for you?
Yes, my father started working here in 1941. Prior to that, Lee Dunlop started the business in 1924.
And this, original Pontiac dealership, well, how long is it going to be able to last?
Probably not much more than a year or two. You know, the product will be going away.
And what's your financial situation? You have a lot full of cars that, it's going to be difficult to move them.
Yes, and it has been difficult the last 6 months. Our sales have dropped dramatically. We used to average 30 to 40 new car sales a month, and the last 6 months we've been averaging 10 to 12.
And at that point, are you fearful that you're going to be left with a whole bunch of cars you can't sell?
Not necessarily. All that has to be figured out. What is GM going to do for us? I'm sure there will be some kind of plan for them to take back inventories if that becomes the need.
What are you telling customers?
Telling them that we're going to be here as long as we can have any say about it, and we'll do our best to continue to serve them and satisfy their automotive needs and service repairs.
I guess it was earlier this month that President Obama said the federal government would back the warranties of cars, I guess, like Pontiacs. Are people asking about that?
A few questions, but GM's communicated pretty clearly to the public, and I believe anyway, that any GM dealership will be able to service a Pontiac vehicle in the future.
But they're going to worry about parts, too.
GM will continue to manufacture parts for the models for at least 10 years.
For at least 10 years. So you've got some things to tell people who come in, but it's got to be one of the worst days of your life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's been my life, been my family's life. It's very difficult. It's like a death in the family or being diagnosed with a terminal illness.
Any ideas what you're going to do?
Nope, none at this point. Just concerned about everybody who works here, and that's about it. I haven't had time to think about myself much.
How many people do work there?
26.
And so presumably they will all be out of work.
Yes, and there's not many jobs out there. Other dealerships are not hiring. It's not a pretty situation.
Well, Mike Beattie, we wish you and them the best of luck.
Thank you.
Mike Beattie is the manager of Dunlop Pontiac in Bay City, Michigan. That dealership has been selling Pontiac since that brand first got into the business back in the 1920s. 800-989-8255. If you own or work in a car dealership, how's business? Tell us your story. Let's go to Mike, and Mike's with us from LeGrand in Oregon.
Hello. How are you, Neil?
I'm well, thank you.
I'm going to only talk to Ken Rudin, so if he's not there, I'm not talking.
Well, he's here tomorrow.
Okay. Yes, I do. I'm in sales here. Have been for 10 years at a dealership here in Northeast Oregon.
And how's it going?
Well, it's pretty tough. It's been tough. I've been working here in the high periods and the low periods, and it's pretty low. We are selling vehicles. People are still buying, but, with the combination of the economy and the news coming from the media and a variety of things, it's really tough.
Negotiations with prospective buyers, they must know it's a buyer's market.
Yeah, when they come in, they have a really good sense of that. It's been a buyer's market for a long time with the Internet, and you can get the blue books and invoices off the Internet. So it's been a buyer's market for quite a while.
And are you making any, no reasonable offer refused, that sort of thing?
Well, that's been the motto of our dealership for years, so it's part of our logo. So, yeah, no reasonable offer or unreasonable offer.
Is it working?
It does work. It does work. A lot of our people here are pretty loyal customers, but, times are tough here, as anywhere. So.
Sure. And what about your brand? I don't know if you want to identify it, but are you worried about their longevity?
Yeah, let's say that they might become allied with Fiat in the future, and they might not.
Uh-huh. So this is a knife's head decision that you're going to be watching the news very carefully the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. What's interesting, I was talking with your screener there for a couple of minutes. One of the interesting situations they're not talking about a lot, it's been dealt with generally, is that, all dealerships generally have to finance their vehicles through a bank or through one of the finance companies that's captive of the manufacturer.
Yeah, GMAC or GMAC, whatever.
Your Chrysler Financial or Ford Motor Credit or banks, for instance, Bank America and all the other banks out there.
Just to point it out, you borrow that money to buy the cars, to put on your lot, and then you pay the company back when you sell the cars.
That's essentially the way it works, yeah. And that's been extremely tough, and because banks just don't want to, they're pretty conservative at this point. They just don't want to extend the credit for a business that's having problems. And so it makes for difficult times when you have to fight that as well.
Mike, again, we wish you the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking my call. And it's not Ken, huh? Bye.
No. Tomorrow for Ken.
Bye.
Tomorrow for Ken. I'm going to quit. Joining us now is John Stoll. He's a reporter with the Wall Street Journal, covers the auto industry. He's with us from Michigan Public Radio in Ann Arbor. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks, Neil, for having me on.
And we've just heard from two car dealerships, one in Michigan, one in Oregon. That situation that we just heard described, a lot full of cars that you borrowed money for, and, it's difficult to get the financing from the bank to make those loans in the first place. And, you wrote about a situation where the banks may be asking for that money back rather quickly.
Yeah, it's not atypical to find dealers who, if they're not well capitalized, if they don't have a lot of cash or they don't have a balance sheet that's relatively clean, to be struggling to find the financing to get the inventory. That's not a major problem, and it is a major problem. It's not as a life or death situation when you don't have the market. What is a very difficult problem and could really close doors quickly at Chrysler and GM is these loans are set up for relatively stable sale values of the cars. When a dealer goes out and gets financing for a car, for a $25,000 truck, let's just say, and Chrysler Financial gives that dealer the vehicle and finance or the financing for the vehicle, the assumption is that they can sell it relatively close to the sticker price. If Chrysler, GM, or both were to file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, the reasonable assumption is that the value of these cars is going to go down precipitously, rather quickly, and it could trigger a clause in these loan agreements that the bank could come to the dealer and say 30%, 40% of the value of that car is gone now. We'd like that money paid because the collateral is worth less, essentially.
The collateral is, in fact, the car itself or the truck
Yes.
or whatever it is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And typically these things turn in 100 days. You can sell one of these vehicles, so it wasn't a problem in the past.
But they're not selling. And in particular, you'd have to think that Pontiac products or GM products in general and all of Chrysler's products, to say they're under a cloud is speaking nicely about the weather.
Right. If you're a consumer, you have a number of options that are alternatives to General Motors and Chrysler. And particularly in General Motors' case, they have a knockout. By most accounts, they have a knockout product lineup. But so is Toyota, and Ford's is getting better. And Honda is a fuel efficient line of vehicles. And that Buy America pull is satisfied by going to a Ford dealer, which isn't under the cloud of bankruptcy, or people have lost that sentiment altogether.
And how many jobs are we talking about? I mean, the Dunlop Pontiac that's been in business since 1924, 26 people work there. This has got to be multiplied by, well, that 900 dealerships roughly?
Yeah. I think the NADA numbers that you cited at the top of the show may be a little low actually for this year given the acceleration. So the gas pedal has been pressed even further on dealer consolidation by the Obama administration. So you may see the numbers go well over 1,000. And typically a dealer, according to NADA statistics, employs 50 people. And that's not just the people selling you the car, obviously. Those are the mechanics, the back office folks, the finance staff, the porters, the managers, on down the line. You're talking about on a regular traditional case, it's 50 people whose jobs are on the line.
And that's the National Auto Dealers Association?
Yeah, yes.
And you're not only talking about all those people in the front, but all the mechanics in the back who do the vehicle, the 10,000-mile checkups, that sort of thing.
Right, and these had been pretty I come from a family of car dealers, ironically, and typically it's very easy to – it had been very easy to move around. My father's been at countless dealerships. It's the way it works. You know, he's been selling cars for 35 years. My brother was the same way. You move to the next dealership because there had been a real opening for people in the car business, particularly here in Detroit because so many cars were selling, and that has been completely shut off. So it's not just the people who are being laid off. It's also the fact that people that need a job can't find one in the dealer business.
John Stoll of the Wall Street Journal, stay with us. GM announces plans for fewer brands, fewer cars, and fewer dealers. If you sell cars, how has your business changed? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Cownan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Cownan in Washington. Major changes in the car business this week. GM announces big cuts, and today the Treasury Department reaches a deal with some of Chrysler's creditors to help keep that company out of bankruptcy, maybe. We're talking today with the dealers, some 10,000 dealerships combined between GM and Chrysler. How has your business changed? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. John Stoll is with us. He's been covering GM and the car business for the Wall Street Journal. And joining us now is a voice that Californians and Alaskans have heard for decades.
Here's Cal Worthington and his dog, Spot.
If you need a better car, go see Cal. For the best deal by far, go see Cal. If you want your payments low, if you want to say some dough, go see Cal, go see Cal, go see Cal.
Cal Worthington is the owner of the Worthington Dealership Group and the voice behind countless television ads. He joins us from his home in Sacramento. Nice to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here.
And how are the Worthington dealers doing?
You bring tears to my eyes. No, business is really bad. It's the worst I've seen. I've been in the car business 60 years, and it's really tough. I would say, though, that with the giant rebates that General Motors is getting and Chrysler and Ford and everybody else, there will never, ever in history ever be a better time to buy a car than right now.
Cal, it's great to see you selling cars.
They're just not going to ever get in this position again. They can't, you know.
I understand that, and this could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as some brands phase out. Did you ever think you'd see the last Pontiac?
Yeah, that's going to be kind of sad. You know, well, some of these good old brands are going, by the way. That's going to be sad.
You also have a Chrysler dealership in San Diego. Are you worried that it will have to close?
Yes, I'm very concerned. If they go bankrupt, they'll go out owing me a lot of money and a lot of other dealers, and it's going to create a tremendous hardship on a lot of people, to the families and the workers and the employees and everything. And the same thing will happen with General Motors, of course. If they go bankrupt, going to be really tough on the dealers, because in most cases they owe us for rebates, they owe us for warranty work that we've done, and the various other things that they owe us for.
And it's we've been hearing about how this is a family business. It's a family business for you too.
Well, what do they mean, a family business?
You got sons and daughters in the business. You've got people you've worked for you for, well, decades.
Well, that's true. Yeah, yeah. My family's in the business somewhat. A couple of them are, but it's a tough business. We operate on about a 1.6% margin in normal times, 1.6 of total sales. Our net profit is about 1.6. And right now, of course, I don't think there's 10% of the dealers in the country that are making any money right now.
And the future does not look any better.
You know, it doesn't. We keep thinking that maybe we've hit the bottom and people will start buying, but that hasn't happened. Used car sales have picked up a little bit, but new car sales are still just terrible.
I wonder, you're famous for your ads. Has the content changed to reflect the difficult times?
No, not at all. I have my own finance company, so financing is not a problem. The problem is that the consumer is just frightened, and he doesn't have any money either. He owes more than he owes more on his car than it's worth. He owes more on his home than it's worth, and he's afraid he's going to get laid off. And the neighbor got laid off. He's afraid he's going to get laid off, and that's the problem. And you know, if the government wants us to just blow and go again, you know, and take any kind of a deal, then the customer will be in the same position again that he is now. It won't solve anything by doing that.
I have to say, Cal Worthington, you sound a little scared, too.
Sound a little what?
Scared, too.
Well, no. I have great confidence in the government. Obama stepped in there and immediately started doing things. Instead of talking about it, he did it. And I just feel like it's going to be a tough thing for another year. But then Haber will come back stronger than ever.
Cal Worthington, we'll be there buying a car when it does.
I will be around. And so we'll go see Cal. And my famous dog Spot. You know about my dog Spot, I guess.
We know all about your dog Spot. Cal, good luck to you and to Spot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Cal Worthington, the owner of the Worthington Dealership Group, and he joined us from his home in Sacramento, California. And John Stoll, it's nice to see somebody is optimistic about the car business.
Well, dealers are the eternal optimists. I think some of them have become a little bit, you know, some optimism has been crushed during this downturn. But you see Cal Worthington, you see John Bergstrom, you see, you know, people throughout this country. I mean, I could sit here and name the names of people who have several dealerships and hundreds, if not thousands, of employees who operate their business optimistically and try to keep as many people employed as long as they can. And the good thing about Cal Worthington, and not to toot his horn too much, there are other dealers in California and up the coast. But the good thing about dealers like Cal Worthington was, in good times, they took steps to capitalize themselves in a way that they could withstand the downturn. He mentioned that he has his own finance company. That is a weapon to keep yourself alive during the downturn, is not to have to borrow from the big banks or the finance companies that are so heavily squeezed and have to sometimes irrationally turn off the valves when it comes to credit availability. You can walk into a Worthington dealer or several other dealers. I mentioned Bergstrom. He's in Wisconsin. If you drive from Chicago to Green Bay, you'll see a Bergstrom dealer at every exit. He does a lot of his own financing too and has great relationships. But that may be what you're seeing here, is the end of the small hometown dealer as we know it, the guy who, you know, like the Bay City dealer you talk to, the person who sells 50 cars a month, 40 cars a month, 30 cars a month. They are small town America, and they have been able to do quite well for themselves because the model was so steady for so long. And in the downturn, unfortunately, these are the guys that are being squeezed out first.
Let's get another caller in. This is Mike, and Mike's calling us from Oklahoma City.
How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
I kind of got a different twist. You know, I do the advertising and production for Buy Here, Pay Here in Oklahoma City. He's doing very well at this time, and just, you know, kind of piggybacking on what your guest had just said about being able to self-finance, that's kind of been the push of the advertisement marketing that we've been doing around here, is letting people know that the hassle within getting financed is being taken away through him doing his own financing. And he's doing great. I mean, he's selling cars right and left. He's got three large stores here in the metro, and I mean, he's kicking butt.
Again, it's the result of the financing, and that's what the advertising focuses on now?
Absolutely. Letting people know that the hassle has been taken out of the financing, and, you know, and the availability of the money is there. He's doing real late model cars.
So this sounds like a used car.
Yeah, buy here, pay here. It's a used car lot, but he's doing very late model cars, 05 and up. And I mean, he's moving product here in this market, where the new car dealers are all running scared. The ones that I deal with for their advertising, they've cut back, slowed down, where he's steady trudging forward.
All right, Mike, continued good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can turn now to Alex. And Alex is with us from Oconomowoc in Wisconsin.
Hey, how's it going out there?
Not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, I am a brand-new salesman. I'm 3 months in, and, you know, in the beginning I sold a bunch of cars, you know, and then it just all of a sudden became really slow. I can't really gauge it. Just because I'm new, but it's a really weird time to get into this, you know.
I was going to say, this is an unusual time to join the car sales force.
Yeah, I mean, you know, people need jobs, and I needed a job, and I found this, and it worked out okay. So far, so good. But, I mean, like, I'm a prime example of what's going on out here. Right now, I'm driving a 06 used Buick LaCrosse. We sell new and used vehicles. I work at a Chevy Buick store. And, right next to a Chrysler store, which is ours as well, a guy came in, he got laid off, he sold us his truck that he only had for maybe a year, and, you know, quite under the price that he paid for it, and that's all he could do, was he could sell it like that. I mean, I don't want to be just all pessimistic and everything. I think it's going okay. I know it's a needs market more than a wants market, but, you know, I had to talk to another new guy's customer today and try to calm him down about GM going bankrupt. You know, you say that Sears has gone bankrupt, or, like, I think, like, Craftsman has gone bankrupt. And, you know, people are still going there. People are still buying their products. But for some reason, just these vehicles and these big companies, they're having people running scared. And it's a really weird time to be in this market, you know, as a buyer and as a employee.
You're going to study Wall Street investment banking next?
I sure hope so, man. You know, I got to do something, you know. If this doesn't work out, you know, who knows?
Well, good luck. Good luck, Alex. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye. And a pretty bleak picture there from Wisconsin. And interesting, both Cal Worthington and our caller from Oklahoma City said used car sales doing rather better. John Stoll?
Yeah, I just bought a used car, first time in a long time, and a lot of that had to do with the lack of good deals. You know, the new car industry bubble, as we call it, that rose to 16 million vehicles a year was largely built on the availability of leases and 0% financing for people who may not have deserved or, you know, from a creditworthy standpoint, I guess, been otherwise eligible for a new car loan. They mm-hmm. were getting them. Used cars have definitely picked up some of the slack, but spending altogether on cars, new and used, has fallen down pretty rapidly here. And I mean, you'll hear it all the time. We haven't seen a crash like this in this industry in the modern era, and it's not just you know, the home values. It's the fact that I think people are reaccounting what they really need at this point, and that was our family situation. Was we could get along for a couple years with a used car. It's fine, and I think a lot of Americans have come to that perspective, especially when they realize that my car payment. People for the last decade have really been interested in a low car payment, and, mm-hmm. and the new car financing industry made that possible.
And also the leasing, because that
The leasing was 20. Yeah, that was 20% of the business until last August when Chrysler Financial and Ford Credit and GMAC really pulled back on that market. It's a really complex reason why they did, but the basic end result has been that you've taken a lot of people out of the market because their leases run up and they can't afford a new car.
Right. I wonder, when you bought the used car, did you buy it from your father or your brother?
No, neither. I bought it from a lady who had her car. It's 120,000 miles on it. It's a Subaru. It actually feels good. I paid cash. I did it the Dave Ramsey way.
Well, you may have trouble next
cash
Thanksgiving,
out of
but that's another story.
It's a Subaru. They're supposed to run for 200,000 miles. I'll be the one guy whose Subaru dies at 125.
John Stoll is our guest. He's a reporter with the Wall Street Journal, with us from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's talk with Chris. And Chris is with us from Pawpaw in Michigan.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
I've worked in the car business for 25 years. And, you know, after 2001, leases used to be 65% of the market. And now they're very, very little because the domestics aren't putting money towards leases. And there is your used car market, your good used ones. And people start buying new ones, and they don't have to get out of them in 3 years.
Right.
Nobody makes a piece of crap anymore. So I, in the last 4 or 5 years, have never seen so many cars with 125,000, 150,000 miles on them on the front row of a lot.
So part of the problem is that what used to be the fact that cars are better than they used to be, and ordinarily even John Stoll's Subaru will run for 200,000 miles.
Yeah, I have a 95 Tahoe with 300,000 miles on it. And you're going to see that increase. Every year we're going to sell fewer and fewer cars because as competition drives up quality, the day when you see a 150,000-mile warranty is maybe 5 years down the road.
John Stoll, do you think he's right?
Yeah, I mean, the logic makes sense. I just would look at the last few years in which we saw volumes continue to go up and up and up, and the quality situation has been resolved largely for the last decade. People like new cars, and if the economy is good and they feel good about their house and they're not worried about their job, if given the opportunity at the same monthly payment, people typically will take that new car versus a used car. That's what the numbers show, and that's what the evidence was. I mean, we had an unprecedented run here from about 2000 to 2006, 2007, in which we were selling an enormous amount of cars to people who really, quote unquote, didn't need them, but liked the new car smell, let's just say.
Chris, thanks very much, and good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And John Stoll, before we let you go, as you look ahead down the road, we don't know what's going to happen with Chrysler or with General Motors. We know both those companies, if they survive, are going to be much smaller than they had been historically than they are today. What's the situation for car dealers going to be?
There'll be fewer of them. I mean, there's no doubt that they're being thinned out. And I think part of the rationale here, just think about Pontiac, which we started the show talking about. GM has the Pontiac, Buick, GMC franchise. Basically, these three dealers are packed into one showroom typically. So the Pontiac dealers, there aren't a lot of standalones who will be affected the same way that a standalone would be.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Detroit, for instance, there's one of those dealerships every 6 miles. And we're not talking about McDonald's or Starbucks here. We're talking about $20,000, $25,000 cars. And I think for a long time GM has known that there were too many dealers out there for their own good, that you can just oversaturate the retail market. And so you'll see fewer. You'll have to drive a little farther if you want to buy a domestic car. The Toyota, Honda, Mercedes, Kia group will either at least stay flat, if not grow, in coming years, because inevitably this market is going to return somewhere north at least of 12 or 13 million units, most people think. And when that happens, the dealers will run back into profitability. They run extremely flexible cost structures that allow them to come back into profitability when there's an uptick in sales. And so they will be strong again. There will be fewer, and I think the bigger dealer groups, the guys that own several dealerships, will win in the end, because it is a buyer's market for them as well. They're buying points right now. They're buying stores. They're buying franchises so that when the market returns, they've got even more stores in their quiver to compete. And again, I think you're the guy that you've known for 30 years that you've been buying a car from, that the owner calls you up, once or twice every couple years to just to check in on you. I think that's the person that's going to be most severely affected in this case, and it's a chunk of small-town America that may go away.
John Stoll, thank you very much for your time today.
You got it.
And good luck with the Subaru.
Thanks.
John Stoll, a reporter with the Wall Street Journal, with us today from Michigan Radio in Ann Arbor. Up next, Cannabis 101. Some medical marijuana dealers in California are off to Pot University. We'll talk with one graduate. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.